I've been going through Romans, and for those that visit here, bear with. I'm just in the book of Romans and going through it very slowly. So if you have a Bible, I just want to read some verses from Romans chapter 5. And then we will go into Genesis. And although I'm starting in Romans, the subject this morning actually really is about worship. In particular, what is worship? I end up doing homework and sit there in my living room reading and trying to work out things and ask the Lord to speak something. And then often he'll just take you on a totally different direction. And sometimes you just got to go with it. You may understand it this morning, you may not. But anyway, the Lord speaks, doesn't he? And that's what we want. Just with chapter 5, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've just remembered that by having communion. Now the prayers have endorsed that. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace. We've heard about this grace this morning. In which we stand, we can stand in grace and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We've got that. It's truth again being echoed. That's okay. It's just great to hear it, isn't it? It's great. Things that can help us. By the way, just hearing it is a blessing. If you're someone that struggles to read, okay, there are many things that people struggle with, dyslexia and all the, hear it is a wonderful thing. By faith, hearing it, okay? Hear it is an incredible thing. Let's carry on. Through whom we also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. And I left it last time I spoke at that glory in tribulations. And I think everyone's faces went, what? Tribulations? We have to go through? Yeah. It's not a matter of if, it's when. We will go through tribulations. And it's just that knowing that the Lord is with us and we can stand in this grace that he has. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint. I love that. Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And then it goes on to the next stage. And really this morning is about that Christ has taken the place of us of what we deserve. It goes on, it says, for when we were still without strength, this is us, humanity, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. That's you. He died for you. And we may hear this on a regular basis, but never lose the wonder of it. And when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, I've done lots of good things. Surely I deserve to be. No. Yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. Always love the but God. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still a sinner, while I was still a sinner, scratching around at the meaning of life, scratching around for purpose in my life. What do I do? What job do I do? What relationship do I enter into? What's the meaning of life? While you're scratching around, God intervened and took the place. I thought about when the Lord was crucified, it was those that were mocking him. How low can you go? The Lord was on the cross, breaking point, and there were still those that were mocking him. I thought about the man that actually formed the thorns to go around the Lord's head. He took time in making those thorns that they were going to hurt. He took time. He would have constructed it there. There would have been laughter, mocking. Even that man who made that thing of hurt, the Lord took his place. Oh, it gives you hope, doesn't it? And he wants many more to come into the kingdom, to come into the table that was prayed about earlier on. There's a great supper for people to come into. You can be happy with the crumbs. They're enough. But there's a table with food, sustenance, and the Lord wants to bring people in. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood that we've remembered about this morning, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So there you've got the picture of the cross and the resurrection, death and life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Reconciled man to God through the Lord Jesus. That is incredible. Do you know that can affect the everyday living of your life? To know that you've been justified and that your life is sanctified until the Lord returns or we go to see him. Wonderful truth. It can affect our lives and it must. It's what our faith must be in. Anyway, just follow with me. If you've got a Bible or you're on your phone, Genesis 22. I think this is when I got distracted. I was listening to this song on the way to work. And just let my heart go to the Lord. I recommend it. Just let it go. Sing to him. Sing whatever song, obviously, truth you want to sing, okay? Not no Brian Adams or anything like that, okay, or whatever else you listen to, or maybe not, no, okay, don't go there. Genesis 22, this is probably one of the most incredible illustrations of someone putting someone's life as a sacrifice through obedience. You know the story of Abraham and his son Isaac? It's incredible. Let's just read it, okay? And we're thinking about linking it to Romans about Christ taking our place. This is Abraham placing his son in the place, okay? It goes like this. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, there is the call. And he said to him, here I am. There's the response. The Lord often calls and he seeks a response. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac. He had another son, though, didn't he? Didn't he have? This is the seed. This is the one that the Lord was going to do something through. Whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early. I wrote in my Bible here, no delay. There was no delay. I probably would have procrastinated a little bit. I probably would have gone through the little thing of, Lord, are you sure, Lord? I might need to put my fleece out here on this one. Or I might need to wait for the traffic signals. Or, you know, red, orange, green, and then I'll move on. I need a word, specific word from the Lord in my daily light. And Abraham had it, rose without delay and went for it. That, I think, is faith. So he rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. What was going through his mind? And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. It's that thing about we will come back to you. And can I just say, I'm just linking this with worship. It's the first time in Scripture that the word worship is used. And I kind of am interested in that. I find that, I think there's no coincidence there, but when you have the first use of a word, I think there's often something in that. So this is the first time it mentions about worship. Stay here with the donkey, and the lad will go up yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering." So the two of them went together. And they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And so he said, "Here I am." What another response. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And it goes on. But I want to just pick up a couple things. Isn't that an amazing picture of obedience and sacrifice? And always when I'm reading it, I'm thinking of the Lord Jesus. It's like a prefigurative of the Lord Jesus and what he was doing. And as I was singing this song on the way to North Wales, I was thinking about this here, thinking about why worship in this place. And then I was thinking about what have we made of worship these days in our churches. Did Abraham, when he went to worship, take his red or blue book or green book? Did he take his guitar? Did he take his piano? Did he take the top 40 worship songs with him? I'm being a little bit. But I'm doing it in a sense because worship was something so much more. We often limit it to something that is done in church at 10:30 or 10 o'clock. And I have different conversations with different people. We sometimes even put out a temperature gauge in the worship, come out with an answer. We're struggling. But worship is so much more. It's so much more, people. I know you know that. But it's wonderful. It's about obedience. Sometimes it's about getting up early and doing something. Do you know that you probably worshipped before you came here this morning? Yesterday I cut the grass. And in a sense, in the garden, I thought, no, I'm going to make a really nice, neat job of it. Do you know what? The attitude and the heart of worship can be done in that. Abraham worshipped. I put here, the word for worship is shakar, which is Hebrew. It means to bow the head below the heart. This has really grabbed me. Well, how do you do that? How do you? It's face down. It's face down. You know, often we can find worship that it's all knowledge up here, cerebral rather than spiritual. And I was thinking that there's times that we need our hearts to be the thing that engage with worship. So our heads go down lower. It's just face down. I think Abraham, when he went off with the laddie, I think he got down on the floor and he worshipped. I think there was a place where he got down where his head was face down. And the Lord saw it. That can be in our worship. If you struggle to worship, whether it's singing is an amazing vehicle, music is an amazing vehicle. I'm not panning those things. But it's the heart of worship. It's the head, making sure that it's below this one here. Less cerebral, more spiritual. I just put the word worship means to bow the head below the heart. Or in other words, submit your natural things. Corrie ten Boom said, "I've learned to hold all things loosely so that God will not have to pry them out my hands. Worship involves loose hands." That's an amazing quote, isn't it? Worship involves loose hands. You know, when we do come in to sing and worship, do Do you come with loose hands? Or are you holding on to something? And I have been in that place where I'm holding on to something. I've been in that place where I'm thinking, well, I want it to go this direction. I want this to happen. And the Lord's saying, no, loose hands. Abraham, loose hands. He was holding on to that knife for the sacrifice. When the angel came and said, Abraham, it was loose hands. Amazing. Loose hands. Psalm 95. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Something in that, isn't there? There's something in it. What's the difference between worship and singing? I don't want to do this like a hot potato and have a real strong opinion, but it's just reading things and understanding things, and I don't have all the answers to it, but there is something more about worship. And I've put here, singing doesn't make demands on your life, but true worship does. I can sing on the way to work, which is a wonderful thing, by the way, and just sing those songs of praise and worship. But worship is the attitude of me going into work with a heart that's bowed down, that I may be able to affect the people that I work with, that I may give up time to be with them, I may give up my ears so I actually listen to their things and what they're hurting by. That, I think, is a state of worship, and the Lord wants it more, those in that worship in spirit and in truth. Let's just go on, chapter 22. So imagine, I love the thing of that there's order to it as well. Abraham took the wood, was getting the burnt offering ready. He had the fire in his hand and the knife. And then it goes on, verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham the father, saying, my father. He said, here I am, my son. And then it goes to verse 9. Then they came to a place which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And it goes on, verse 12. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. And it goes on to say, God will provide. God will provide. If you step out in faith, he provides. And that's a wonderful thing. And then it says in verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, you have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. By the way, that doesn't mean that you will just prosper or just even prosper financially. That is a gospel that's totally out there. But by this, you will prosper money-wise and blessing, that is totally an error. I think basically he's saying here, when I read those verses in Romans, that you will face more and more tribulations. But with those tribulations comes that thing of hope, perseverance and character. Just go with me. Last time, I'm nearly there, sorry. Just in the book of Exodus. Find the chapter. Now, chapter 30. Want to just pick up that little theme, sorry, of worship. What's involved in worship? And I was thinking about the incense of worship in the Old Testament. It says this in chapter 30, verse 34. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbanum. Wow, that's a mouthful. Pure frankincense. With these sweet spices, there shall be equal amounts of each. You shall make of these incense a compound, according to the art of the perfumer. And when I read it originally, I was thinking performer. I was thinking, well, that would be totally wrong. But in actual fact, it links in a little bit with the incense, so that you can become a bit of a performer when you're getting the ingredients ready for worship. That's another subject. Salted, pure and holy. Verse 36, and you shall beat some of it very fine and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. But as for the incense which you shall make, you shall not make any for yourselves. According to its composition, it shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. Now you may be thinking, Mark, where have you gone? You've jumped from Romans to Genesis to Exodus. These are just the ingredients of true heart worship. We've got the ingredients. There needs to be a harmony there. And it says here that it's not created for oneself. When I arrive here this morning, in a sense you arrive with a heart of worship, you're not in some ways doing it just for yourself, but you edify one another. Even just the things that are prayed is worship. Singing, yes, is a vehicle of worship. How our attitudes are with one another can be worship. How this tongue operates can be worship, and it can also bring down many things. But here, to me, it speaks of a lovely sweetness. It speaks of ingredients that are harmonious to one another, equal in balance. That is wonderful to have in worship. Have you felt that and known it this morning? What did Job say? Here's a man about worship. He said, I put here, despite Job's immense loss and suffering and losing everything, including his children and his livestock, he rightly praised God as he fell to the ground in worship. He then said, naked I came into my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's worship. You can go through all the different characters in the Bible, and there's a sense of wonderful worship. Come, let us worship and bow down. Jesus, with the woman at the well, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the Father is seeking such to worship him. You can do it in your job. You don't need to confine it to a Sunday. Okay, it's all through the week, which is an incredible thing. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Wonderful. Time has run out. But I wonder if we could just worship the Lord with a song. I know I've said about music, and that it's a wonderful vehicle to worship. But I wonder if we can just worship the Lord with loose hands. If you get anything from this morning's message, don't hold on to things. There's loose hands when you sing with worship. Loose hands when you meet with people from work, maybe family members that don't know the Lord yet. Have those loose hands. Should we worship the Lord? I wondered if we could sing. I know we haven't got the words. Can we sing that again? The song that we sang earlier on. Can we do that? Maybe we can just stand and respond. And I just want to say, if there's things in your heart that you're holding on to, like Abraham of old, we can release them. And it means stepping out in faith, taking those steps that Abraham took.